Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, friends, or as they say in the South, evening, folks. We're glad you're with us tonight. We look forward to being with you every Monday night on your program, your show, which we lovingly call Raising Expectations, because we hope that being with us, spending some time just the way these guys lift my life up, you'll get some expectations raised, because we want to share with you what God does in our lives and what God's doing in many of our special guests' lives, and remind you that He could do the same in your life. He's right there. He's only a prayer away. So thanks for being with us again. And tonight we're just looking forward to sharing some things about faith and what faith is. And where does faith fit in 2023? Faith, what is that anyway? Where does that come from? So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight in light of some of our lives and where we've all been. So we're going to start by introducing, as we always do, our team, because this team, really our family. We're co-hosts, but we're really a family. My life's been blessed by everybody that I'm going to share with you right now, as you well know. So we're going to start as we look across America. We get texts from people, many of you all over the 50 states. We're going to go all the way back to the West Coast again, to the thriving metropolis of Lompoc, California, just north of Santa Barbara. That should be a song, Lompoc, California, north of Santa Barbara, where they shoot the missiles from. And that's where Dr. Paul Hall lives. And Paul Hall is a theologian. He's a retired pastor. He knows the word of God. Most important, I've known Paul for 50 years, and Paul knows how to hear and listen and love people. He's a great man. He's a great friend. And he's also our scribe. Somebody asked me this week on a text. He writes a lot. I said, that's why he's so smart. But I said also, he's writing a book right now about all the things from Raising Expectations in the first two and a half years, and our guests and what they're about. When I was in school with Paul, I always looked and said, your notes are really good, you know? So he takes great notes. So you'll be watching, he'll be sharing, and we'll be growing together. So that's in Lompoc, California, right, Paul?
That's right. You got it.
Lompoc. Okay. We're from Lompoc. We're going to go back across. We're going to get on the airstream, air current, and land in right in the corner of the three states in the south there, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina, and right there in Dalton, Georgia. We have two of our favorite people. We have Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer, and you know them well. They're with us each and every week. Stephanie is the CEO and founder of Quenching Wells, which really talks about how to put yourself in shape, health wise, what to eat, how to eat it, and how to take care of yourself. And she does it from the inside. And she shares her relationship with Christ. We all love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that we can live this life knowing that whatever happens, we're going to be with him. And in the meantime, he's walking with us. We're so grateful for who he is. And she shares that with everybody. So hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get their lives changed by changing what they do. And Stephanie helps them with that. And the one who helps Stephanie with that also is her great husband, who we love and appreciate also. And that is Tank. We call him Tank. Tank Thayer. And he is a trauma surgeon. He is also a great dad. He's a coach. He's a brother in Christ to all of us and everybody who's known him. And he's a great author. He's written a great book, which you've been following. And he's doing a vocal version of that. It's really going to be neat. We'll get all that information up for you. So it's called Saved, and it's on our website. In fact, our engineer's got it for you right there. Thank you, TJ. Finding God in the Ordinary. And that's where God does some of his best work. You might miss it if you don't see what he's done in the ordinary things of growing this guy. I call him a giant for the Lord, because he is. He's our brother. We love him, appreciate him. And Craig is the guy that you're going to want to get to know in this book. You're really going to want to get to know some of the stories, because I think the more fun you have in high school and other places, and the more mischievous, that's a big word, isn't it, that you get, the greater you get when you're older, and the more you understand everybody else. And so in any event, we're glad that Craig came out of his shell eventually. Anyway, you're going to want to read this book all about what this great guy does. We love and appreciate you, brother. Thank you. And you too, sister. Appreciate it. So coming back to the center of the nation, we're going to Texas, where it's very exciting for me because my USC Trojans with Coach Lincoln Riley just got the 4-star All-American running back from McKinney High School, and he is going to be a USC Trojan and one of our favorite pastors in the whole world is right there in McKinney. And we need to pause for a moment and let him get over his excitement, because I know he's thrilled to know this, knowing that he's going to be playing for the Trojans.
Absolutely, yeah, thrilled.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Ron, football. Greer. That's what the long elongated ball, not the round one, right?
That, yeah. This, yeah, okay, the round one. That's,
yeah. Yeah.
Ron is works right now as a men's counselor. He works with Man in the Mirror out of the state of Florida. But more than that, Ron works with helping men understand who they are. Ron has a heart for Christ. He was a pastor. He's done just about everything in life you can imagine. This guy knows what it means to trust and to have faith in the Lord. And this man is a blessing to all of our lives also. If I had to pick anybody to be stuck on a lost island with somewhere, these would be the people I'd want to be with, because Ron is the kind of guy that he's not shy anymore. He's very outgoing. He's not shy. There's never a dull moment when we get together. You know, I think back, Ron, of Johnny Cash and the Gospel Road, that, you know, the movie that Johnny Cash made, and where they're walking down the road, the disciples, and they're all laughing and they're all sharing. And he picks up John, Peter, and puts him on his shoulders, you know. And what a great thing, because the love and the joy of the Lord comes out when you're with brothers and sisters in Christ who Amen. Love God and walk together. It's really exciting. Very, very Amen. Special. So anyway, love you, Ron. We're glad you're in.
Oh, thank you.
I'll keep you posted from SC. Don't worry. I definitely send you a USC cap so you'll have it this year.
My kids joke that I'm genetically flawed because I'm clueless when it comes to sports.
Oh, it's all right. It doesn't make any difference. I'm there for you, but we'll keep it close.
Okay, thank you. Take up the slack. Yes,
Stephanie's thrilled too. I can tell at the moment, but moving right along. And we just like we always say, we live in a really different world in 2023. Yes. Some big news today, huh, Ron? A lot of stuff hit the news right off this morning. Whoa, a lot of things going. I guess they all remind me of the most important factor in our lives that we have is that we know by faith that God's in control. We know that yes. God's working in everything. Yes, I don't have to figure it out. We don't have to figure it out. We can think about it and pray about it. But God gives in everything the bottom line. There's no mm-hmm. plans in heaven. There's no, excuse me, worries in heaven, only plans. And whatever has been settled in heaven, settled for all time, like he tells us in Psalms.
Yes.
So as we look at all this tonight, we've got a very special guest tonight that we are bringing to you live and direct from right here, actually, right here. So we are going to share tonight a little bit. You know, some people asked me, so I said, well, I'll go ahead, you know, with Tank's book. I wanted to make sure that we tell you everything about what Saved is doing out there helping people. Paul will be sharing what he's doing. There's some great things that Ron's been writing. They're all going to be coming to you in the year here as we progress forward and what we're doing in raising expectations. But I did write a book. You've probably seen it. Thank you for the words that have come back to me, for the text and such, and for following. The book is called, there it is. Yeah, Legitimate Faith. And it comes out of the book underneath it called the Holy Bible, the Word of God. The word that transcends time, the word that empowers you and me as we, by faith, look to God in our hearts. It's kind of a story. It was brought about by, I'll give you a quick background, it was brought about by Zig Ziglar, actually. he was kind of my mentor, and I taught a Bible series there at the church in Texas, and we had a very large class, and Zig was kind of scary, Ron, to go and sit in the front row, and there's Zig and the redhead, as everybody knows, Jeannie. And he's sitting there with a pad ready to take notes, and you're walking up there, you know, not a young pastor anymore, but still very much thinking, I'm going to be preaching to him. You know, like, this is really going to be interesting. But he's the most gracious and humble guy. And when I did the book of Hebrews, I went through the book of Hebrews over a period of 3 to 4 months. He said, I want you to take the first ones and write it. He said, I love what you said, and I want you to call it legitimate faith. So if you wonder where the title came from, that was Zig Ziglar. I don't claim that. He's the one that did it. I have a few quotes in the book. Many of you have read the book from Zig Ziglar specifically. And the book basically says, I want you to tell them about your life. And so it was kind of easy to do because of all things that happened here. It's really good. I was there. Didn't have to research it quite as hard. I was there. I went through all these things. But I think I would like to say, you've heard me say quite often, one of the things I love about this group of people is that we don't have any, and you hear me use by, and dating myself when I say it, we have no Stepford people on this group. Remember the Stepford wives, where everybody was just perfect and everything was great. And then in the end, what a messed up mental case the whole thing turned out to be. We don't have people like that. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. We have people who have come down a road. And like I said, in the foreword that went out in the book, the foreword very simply says, when we're young, we read the Bible and we believe it by faith. And like the Apostle Paul, we discovered that honest questions always lead to deeply satisfying and needs meeting answers. There it is. This is the part I appreciate with all of our team. As we crawl out of the potholes of life, and we find at that point that the black ink on white paper jumps off the pages of the Bible and burns deeply into our hearts, revealing the truth and reality of God's faithfulness. We discover that God grows in each of us a legitimate faith that's more wonderful than we could have ever imagined. It stands the test of time, and that keeps us going where God wants us to go. I have, in my life, seen God work in a wonderful way. I had a wonderful mom and a wonderful dad, and two wonderful sisters, and now just lost one wonderful brother-in-law who was a deacon in my church. He's gone to be with the Lord with Alzheimer's. You've heard about that. And my other brother-in-law, Cliff Poe, you've seen him on the show with my sister. That makes sense, since he's my brother-in-law. He would have married his sister. See how quick I am? But they live in Texas also. Just want him to keep it straight. They live in Texas, and Cliff Poe, they don't come any better than old Cliff. And at this point, we've all realized that we accepted the Bible. I accepted Christ when I was 9. Quick overview there, and it's in the book. I walked down the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, that's what the Word teaches. And I learned later in life that it's not who you are or where you are or what you do or what tower or what name's written on the front of that church or what it comes to. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from placing your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and he makes it clear, I wrote about that in the book, that that's the only reason he's here. And I tried to make this book something that is relevant to where we live and simple as to how we live, rather than as deeply theological as I might have done some exegetical sermons at times, according to Zig. But sometimes I think exegesis needs to be slightly moved when we understand what it means and put in a way that the world can hear it today. Put in a way that people who, like you, who tune in, our friends and our neighbors and those people that we pray for on our show, that when we're bombasted and attacked from all corners and everything's going crazy, it seems, in the world, we have a rock that we sit upon. It's called the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows exactly what's happening. And as we look to him, we can realize that our faith is in him and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And when he looked down, he said, Father, forgive Joe Scofield, for he doesn't know what he does sometimes. But at that point, he forgave me of my sins. He died for my sins. He's coming again to retrieve me. And I tell you what, he lives in my heart. And so faith to me is a very, very special thing. So this book basically is about what I went through. I wanted to be an entertainer. I wanted to sing. I got to sing with Glenn Campbell, Frank Lane, all kinds of people like that. And then the real joy in my life came when I got to sing with Paul Hall. We got to college. We knocked our socks off. Football.
Yeah.
One guitar and two guys. Yeah, that's a story. But anyway, you know, once I got my life, came out of this. Then I realized when I came out of this that, look, I hit the button. Whoop, I just lost myself. How do I find myself?
Oh, you're still here. We'll see you.
Good news, we see you.
Okay,
let me go back where I was. What do I hit on here, Steph?
I don't know. What do you see? Anything?
Zoom. I hit Zoom again, right?
Yeah, there you are. Zoom button.
Thank you. God, see, I learned something, Steph. It's magic.
You're teachable.
Anyway, I learned, if you go through the chapters, I'm going to quit talking here in a minute, but I simply said, do I understand what faith is? It's a big question today. Do I really know what it is, aside from exegetically taking it apart and impressing people in the world, but still questioning, what's it mean? And I asked the question, does your faith make a difference in your life? What good is it if you can't use it? What good is it if it doesn't change your life? I said, so what is really real? Oh my goodness, that seems to be the biggest question today. What's real anymore? I mean, we don't want to go down that street, particularly tonight. What is real? The Word of God is real. And faith reveals that, and we can look at that. And I simply said, choices and obedience, does it unleash a difference-making faith in your life? Yeah, it does. My goal in those first six verses is to please God. We need to please God, and our faith pleases God. So those six verses are powerful. Does your faith follow hard after God? It can when you realize it's not something you drum up. It's something he gives you. Your faith can follow hard after God when you don't have to pump it up, shine it up, and make it look good. But instead, you realize that God says, hey, I know you're struggling with this faith. Let me help you. And he's right there. What a difference it makes. Faith tested to be unshakable. That's a big thing, being in California. Is your faith really unshakable? It really, truly is. Are you sailing in the wake of God's foresight? If God knows everything, why don't you quit setting your own course and cast your sail into the wind where he's leading? There's a lot to say in these seven or eight verses. It's all right there. And we know that he is there. And all of these tell the story, at least about where I came from. There's a lot of interesting stories in there, but all of them are Christocentric. All of them are tied specifically to the scripture, and hopefully better than that for you, they're tied to where Joe had to figure it out the hard way sometimes. Because I'm going to end with this. I think sometimes the older we get, the more we think we figure things out. And if we're pastors, the more we think we may know about what the Word of God says. You know what? Sometimes, yes, usually no. Usually God says, you've just begun to see what I want to show you. And that's why I love some of the people who come on our show and they share their testimonies of what God has done. So I'm blessed to know that you read this book. And so I'm going to throw this out to my friends. Let me say friends again. I don't know what your question, but you might have a question or a thought, and I might look at the book with you. Maybe you've read something, we can look at it and share it a little bit. Kind of go from there. Ladies first.
I mean, chapter one was, you know, Mr. Dakota the dog and love. But you said something that was, you know, profound. Faith is evidence, you know, and part of that, I think, came from Hebrews 11. If you remember that, can you expound on that, or...
Chapter one.
Yeah.
You have the line. You have the line on there, and I'll go to it real quick and I'll bring it out. It's after Dakota or before Dakota?
I think it was after Dakota.
After Dakota. Okay.
11 is page 6, but faith is evidence is page 10.
Yeah.
Page 10. Gotcha. I just got the faith is evidence. Yeah. It's right there in the verses. If you have your Bible, everybody can look there. Hebrews chapter 11, the first six verses. I should have turned to that already. There it is, Hebrews 11. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Whereby it, the people of old moved there with commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not things that are visible. So the evidence there, I know I talked about my own life there. Faith doesn't make these things become so. They're so. It's like when people say to me, I don't believe the Bible. It doesn't bother me. because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not so. In fact, it gives me a chance to say why it's me. In fact, the older I get, the Bible actually reads me. I don't read the Bible. God knows me. And the Bible says, He wrote this right here. You think you read this before? Let me say what he's really saying right now to you, Joe. Are you listening? I do real well to the last line. Am I listening? Sometimes I got to get on my knees and say, okay, God, I don't hear this. Forgive me. Let me start over. Say it again. And that evidence right there, if you don't think it'll work, it's right here. Really, I said faith doesn't make things so. Some people really struggle at this point. This was not the mentality of my friends when I was saved at 9 years old. No, maybe we bought into the Disneyland. Remember, a dream is a dream your heart makes. And let's just move the magic wand. Disney's so far gone today, folks. I don't even think he remembers Tinkerbell. But in any event, when you remember all the little mice, they'd sing a song, a wish is a dream that comes true in Cinderella. That's not what faith is. And the world sometimes kind of thinks that way. People unwittingly say, well, just have faith. Right. If you've got enough faith, you can do it, you know? But if you don't think it'll work, just have faith. Some people even think faith is optimism. Keep a stiff upper lip if you're Winston Churchill. Never give up, never give up, never give up. You know, kind of like the ostrich who sticks his head in a hole in the ground and hopes that the thundering herd of water buffaloes will see them so that he doesn't run over them. I've done that a few times in my life. How about you guys? I've stuck my head in the ground and said, I don't want to face this, God. Maybe it'll go away. And I just get bowled over. So, you see, in my life, God has shown me that I have faith because already being there, faith is the assurance of things according to that verse. They're already true. It's like a computer. When I start the computer and I send an email, how do I know a computer works? How do I know it even works? Because I get a response. When I pray for somebody, I get a response. It has to be so before you can have faith. Why have faith in something that's not so? And God assures that to us right there. Ziegler used to say many times to me, don't let your worries or your questions get the best of you. Remember, Moses at one time was a basket case. Seems kind of silly, doesn't it? Yeah, but it's really not, you know. And the only thing I can say is the more I look at God that way, it's already true. He grabs a hold of the basket of my life and he doesn't let me fall out of it or sink. I get wet a lot, Ron, but I don't sink. So is that where you were looking at?
And then I just loved your analogy of your daughter Amy Jo in the swing.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Stuck at the top in the dark and just afraid.
And that was
faith in her dad.
Yeah, that was particularly important because I was working with single adults. And if anybody need faith, it's single adults. Single adults who have been run over, who haven't had wonderful marriages where everything stays okay, where they've been really hurt in life. And I think that was page like 89, yeah. If you could picture my three kids... listening to all of this, of course, I was looking at Abraham in that chapter, and Abraham had to have faith. He had to have faith like single adults need to have. They have no idea. Am I going to get married? Will I ever have a life? Am I lovable? Do I count? Do I care? Nobody loves me. I'm not worthy. I'm nothing. And they go through all of these traumas, and Abraham took them down a road, as you saw in that chapter. Abraham said, wait a minute. If you study the land of Ur, and you study the Mesopotamian Tigris Valley, and you follow it all the way down where he was, he went from something to nothing. There was nothing he was added, you know. And then when he had to deal with Lot of Sodom and Gomorrah, he got blown out of the water. Single adults could really relate to Abraham. Mm-hmm. So when we got down to this place, if you could picture this, I had a backyard, Hank, I had a deck over the backyard that looked out across Castro Valley. You could see all the way across from my deck, actually to Stanford University, and you could see the Hoover Tower in the distance. And so I used to go up there sometimes and pray, but my kids wanted a swing. So, you know, Joe, dad here, I was a younger dad. If you could picture Amy, she was about eight and she was about eight or nine. She wanted to swing, and her brother, her sister, Courtney, was about seven, and John was about five. And so they wanted a swing. So I went out and bought a T-bar swing. That was the latest thing, guys. It was shaped like a T with a ladder at both sides and two bars across the top. Swings on the end, slide in the middle to slide down, and then one of these things, you know. So I asked one of the guys at church, I said, you know, I don't know much about this stuff. And I said, yeah, we figured that, Pastor Joe. I had over 800 singles. So these singles were great. So a lot of them were contractors. They knew what they were doing, and I was clueless in Seattle. So I simply asked him, what do I do with this, guys? He said, you dig the holes, go down 4 feet, go down, we'll give you the trench. They gave me the trench with the dig, the funny shovel, whatever it's called. So I dug down 4 feet. Said, now you want to put 100 pounds of cement and make sure that it stays. So I did. I thought I was doing so well. I bought 400-pound bags of cement. And I put 100 pounds in each hole. So when they came and inspected it and I put it down, boom, it went down. I had 400 pounds of cement. They started laughing at me. And I said, guys, you know, I know you're single. And also, I know you struggle. And I said, you're making me feel really bad. And they were just laughing. They were my pals. And so they said, when the great earthquake hits and San Francisco disappears and everything's gone, your swing will still be standing because it will never fall over in this. So anyway, when the back had a spotlight, so at that point I wanted Amy to, I told the kids don't go out in the dark because we had ivy that went down the side of the hill. And we had an ancient turtle, a huge thing that lived down there. Don't go out there, get your toe bit. So in the middle of Amy decided to sneak out. She couldn't wait to get back on her swing. So she decided she'd do it anyway. So she went out and I heard her yell. Yeah. So I'm downstairs. My son, I come running out. And she's out there, she's dead. And by that time, her brother and sister are there. Now, Amy's, all of your kids are different, right, guys? Think about it.
Right.
Amy would climb Mount Everest in a T-shirt if she thought she could do it. She was, I could do this. Her sister would see if you do it. And then John would say, why don't we think about this? It doesn't sound like a good idea. So they were all different. Amy goes out there. So I run out, I flip the switch, and the light was burned out. The light didn't work. So I was in trouble. So I said, Amy, you're right there. She said, Dad. And they're running out to the door. And the funny thing is, I look back at this story. I was trying to let them know the message that I'm trying to get you is right before your eyes and you miss it. Much like the title on Tank's book, God is at work in the ordinary things of your life, single adults. And he loves you and you are special. And you count and he cares. And there's something special coming for you. I don't know what. But as we went into this, I simply said, she called out to me, Daddy, when I went outside on the crossbar ladder, it was frozen. So I was in a proverbial pickle. I couldn't see anything. It was a pitch black night. So I stepped out there, maybe 10 or 12 yards away from the house, and I found her. And I walked out in the dark, and very simply what I said, she said, Daddy, I am scared. You ever been scared? Yeah, we've all been scared. Sometimes the greatest lessons are right there. And I said, well, don't worry. You know the swing. You helped me put it up. You climb to the end, and then you can come down the ladder, and I'm right here. So she said, Daddy, I can't come. Her eyes had gotten accustomed. She could see me, but I could hardly see her. I was pretty high. And she said, Daddy, you seem so far away, and I'm going to read it for you. I said, that's all right. I could see you. Can you see me? She said, yeah, I could see you. You're right. I said, I'm right here. And I said, just jump if you can see me and I'll catch you. And she said, Daddy, I'm afraid. I said, I thought, what do I say now, Lord? What do I say now? She's scared. She's looking down at me. And I said, okay, sweetie, do you think Daddy is right here? She said, yeah, I see you. I said, okay, sweetie, do you think Daddy's strong enough to catch you? That was in the bigger days. Never as buff as you, Ron, but I had a couple. And so she goes, yeah. She goes, I think you could catch me. I know you are, Daddy. I know you could catch me. I believe. I said, okay, do you think Daddy loves you? And she said, yeah, Daddy, I know you love me. At this point, her little brother and sister got real brave, and they come up on each side of me, standing there just watching this. And I remember, I said, all right, has your daddy ever told you a lie? And I'm thinking, well, did I?
Yeah, that's
a good go. And she said, no, Daddy, you never lied to us. I said, okay, then jump, sweetie. Mm-hmm. She said, okay, Daddy, here I come. And at that point, she let go and just jumped right at me. And as I caught her and gave her a big hug with tears in her eyes, she gave me a great big hug I'll never forget. And even Courtney and JR at this point were jumping up and down cheering But she had climbed that Mount Everest. And that week in our single purpose worship, I said, who we have not seen, we love. We haven't seen Jesus yet, but we know he loves us. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen him next to us, but we know he's there. And I took the whole story out to them, and he's right there. You can count on it. So I very simply said, we know the promises he's given us. We know who he is. Whether they're bright days or dark days, he's there with us. So when he says jump, just reach your arms out and jump, and he'll be there. Mm-hmm. He still remembered that. Mm-hmm. Simple.
That's so good. We were just studying Gideon in Judges 7. You know, God says to Gideon after he's like pumped him up in Judges 6, and then in 7 he's having him, you know, like less and less people. He's left with the dog lapping people that he doesn't think are any good, right? And God says to him, if you're afraid, you can take your servant with you. He doesn't say like, you won't be afraid, or you can turn around and leave, or he just tells him, you're going to do this anyway, but somebody will go with you, right? And I think that like what you're saying too, is that there are things we're going to have to do scared, but God is with us. He's prepared ahead of us. He already knows it's happening, right? And either he's there, he's going to send someone to do it with us. And I think it's a great analogy where you always hear in scripture, he says, come like a child.
Yeah.
Would an adult have responded to you like that? Probably not.
No.
Okay, good.
They respond. They're still up there swinging. But they respond through kids. And, you know, single adults, especially, but all of us, what do we do when we're all alone, Steph? It's dark and we're up on that swing. And that's when God really wants to talk to us. And where does faith kick in there? He's wants to talk to us and know that we're listening when we're all alone. We have to have the faith of a child. And too many of our singles were engineers at Lawrence Livermore Lab. I know this, but they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. God's always there. Anybody got a not deeply theological question? Yeah.
Well, is Paul going to jump in? He's gonna wait.
I got one, yeah, but you could jump in. Yeah, Ronnie would just jump in.
I was waiting for Paul. Make sure he didn't jump in there. Wait a minute.
Yeah, my internet's been buzzing in and out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Just a question. Do y'all like to take tests?
Yeah.
You like tests? Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. I read a thing this week that said, you know, I'm kind of done with the whatever doesn't kill me only makes me strong stuff for a while. You know? And it's interesting because, you know, the Bible talks about that in the book of James. And one of the translations I really enjoy is called The Voice. And it says, this is what it says. It says, don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters, as difficult as they are, because you'll ultimately find joy in them. Oh, yes. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure, and true patience brought on by an equip you to complete, and cross the finish line, mature, complete, and wanting nothing. You know, and the whole thing about faith being tested, our faith is tested. Give you a quick illustration. A little over a week ago, I bought a new radio for my car, and they gave me a thing called a receipt. And they said, if we come back, we'll make an appointment. And if you'll come back next Saturday, we'll put it in for you. And, you know, never for a moment did I think that if I showed up with my receipt that they wouldn't honor that, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you've got God's word, that the passage in Hebrews 11:1, one of the shades of meaning of assurance is it's like a legal document that. Mm-hmm. That is binding, you know. And so when I showed up with my receipt on Saturday, guess what they did? They pulled out the radio and they put the new one in, and it was like really great. And I wasn't surprised. I wonder how often we get surprised, you know, surprised that God honors what he said he would do, and our faith just kind of falters, you know, kind of it wobbles. I think that's a good word, you know, wobbles. But I just faith is such a it it when Joe and I were in college together, and God graced us by allowing us to travel all over Texas and share with young people, and we went to Indiana.
Come on, Lord.
Never talked about what we would do 5 years down the road, or 10 years down the road, or 20 years down the road. We talked about what are we going to do tomorrow, you know? And so I think sometimes we get overwhelmed with the vastness of seeking, what's God's will for my life? Well, it's walking every day, staying in step with the Spirit. And that requires faith to do that, because you're going to get tested. And it's going to be a tough test, you know, for some of them. So just want to throw that in. Something thinking about,
you know. Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. I think when you do believe, and you believe God's purposeful all the time, then the world's a great big puzzle. Why this? Why that? What's the purpose? Or even more fun is, change the words coincidence, lucky, luck, highly improbable, to miracles. Mm-hmm. And those were God's creations, right? So you start to see these things. And I think that's the evidence of faith, like Joe said, that, you know, or the childlike faith of believing and leaping from the top of a well-supported 400-pound weighed-in swing set.
Fort Knox swing set.
Probably still there. It's probably still there.
Fort Knox. Yeah.
Well, I'm reminded of a thing that was, I think it's Legionnaires ministry. What's the brother's name? R.C. Sproul. In the passage of Hebrews 11, he says that faith comes from God, right?
Amen.
The scripture said, so it's impossible for us to have faith except that God has given us faith.
Amen.
That is absolutely impossible for us to please God unless we walk in that which he's given us.
Amen.
If I'm believing God for what he has given me, then everything else gets sort of, you know, viewed through that perspective. So, you go through that hall of fame, right? The heroes throughout the faith, and each one of them, you read the stories and you go, okay, each case, God came to them and gave them faith to do the things that called them to do.
That's right.
So they simply took what God gave them, you know, trusted God for what he gave them, and then trusted God to do what he was going to do in the process. And I think that's, you know, too often, we kind of wish things, and we call it praying. And then when God responds and God acts, you know, people are just elated and they come and tell you this amazing thing God did, and they're shocked and surprised. And quite often I'm the killjoy. Because my response is usually, so what did you expect? I mean, you prayed expecting what? So when God does it, okay, yeah, he did it. He fulfilled what he said he was going to do. It's one of those things I think that requires us to consistently, as Jesus says, to abide with him. So he has brought me to a point where I understand I'm separating loss from him. He brought me to a point to understand that there's provision for me. And then he gave me the ability, when I released, to accept that which is given me. And then he gives me a bit of the walk in it. And I think the last time I read it was 365 times he says, do not be afraid. And I think another 60 some odd times he says, I am with you. I am with you. To me, faith is that understanding God is with me, understanding that God will do what he said he's going to do, and understanding he's going to do what he wants to do.
Amen.
I just need to stay within in that path with him and just watch what he does.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, yeah, not be afraid. And I mean, I think having some fear is normal and natural. That we're going to be that way until we translate it. But it's not allowing my fear to distort my view of who God is, not allow my fear to distort who God, what God is, has done and will do. It's not distorting. So I press past that. I continue to walk and do what God has me to do, always knowing that he gave it to me and he's going to fulfill it and he's going to bring it to conclusion.
Exactly. I had somebody say to me once, Ron, spot on there, that I have to please God. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Say what?
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't have a faith. Sometimes my faith is still, but then the whole other side of that to make the wheel roll is God says, no, you don't have any faith. It's me. And then we go back to the beginning, the first verse. Yeah. You have faith in something that's already there. You may not see it yet, but it's there. We used to talk about the creation of the universe. My dad was with NASA. He'd say, you wouldn't believe this. Don't give me this big bang theory. I'll go through the whole thing with you, son. It's the same thing today in our lives. But like Paul said, tying this with what you're saying, God gives me the faith that I need very simply. And if he gives me that faith, then I can dwell, like you said, brother, with him on a daily basis. Because why? One, I don't need to be afraid to.
Right.
If I'm doubting in something, I don't need to be afraid to go and look into the face of Jesus in the morning and say, in my human size, I'm afraid I'm not living up to who I'm supposed to be. You know, I got to be Christian. I hated that. But anyway, I got to be this guy. And you can't. And it, because I have faith in that. What am I supposed to do? God says, wait a minute. You come to me. I'm going to give you the faith. And the faith is in things you can't see yet. One of the biggest lessons was learning that. And then that ties into what Paul said. And what you illuminated too, it's a day at a time.
Yeah.
And when you're a pastor, sometimes you got to have this many baptisms, you got to have this, you got to have that, you got to have that. And they indwell a fear in you because if you don't get that, you're not doing it right. No. If you could pillow your head every day and say, I did exactly what God meant to do, how'd you like to be in a church?
Yeah.
Someone says to you, don't waste your time on that. Those people don't have enough money. Don't take all this time with them. You need to devote your time to these people.
Right.
Or you need to manage your schedule to such a place that you can't talk to everybody, Joe. Because if you talk to everybody, you need to get on with what you got to do. No, I think part of the call God had to me, no matter how the few words might be, for that day, in that way, at that moment, when the Holy Spirit feels led to say something by faith to somebody, you need to stop. They need to know that you care. There was a day, Ron, when I would come out of the sanctuary preaching in my churches. Mm-hmm. And people, you know how they work. They all come around you. They come around. They want something, right, Ron? They all come around. Okay, you can't do this anymore. I don't think you could do it today because the world's so messed up. My dad was a big hugger. I quit being a hugger because I said, Dad, you can't do that. Everybody loved my dad. He was a head deacon in the church. But then I got to the place where if I was at the door and somebody was there, and I caught them, and the Lord brought their attention to me out of the corner, and somebody's talking to me. To me, focus is critical. I focus on the person, and I'm listening to you. If somebody came in, I could tell they were there, and something the Lord said, they're hurting. Something's wrong. I would put a hand out on a shoulder, and by doing so, I never look at them. They knew by that hand quickly on the corner of their shoulder, Pastor Joe knows I'm here. Pastor Joe knows there's something that I have a burden, and he's letting me know it's okay. I'm here to wait. You got to wait. And I would finish, and I would be brief. I'd watch it, and I would talk to that person because somebody, God prepared the footsteps of their life, like we see in Ephesians 2, to cross your footsteps that day. And if you're too busy for that, you're missing an eternal call. What if that person goes to hell or loses what God is trying to show them through your testimony, witness, and what you needed to try to say to them? And that is where I had a lot of trouble sometimes at church because you need to be ready. God will provide the faith. God will show it.
Yeah.
And I think you guys nailing it. That's it to me. The older I get.
No, I think it goes, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
There's a phenomenon in church where if most of the team are carpenters and you're a plumber, so say you're people based and they're great at
production
and thinking of the next thing to present and you know, a different way of looking at the church life needed, but they want you to be a carpenter like them.
Right.
You're not. And so, yeah.
And you need both.
You need to be the plumber for just what you said, for that one of the 99 that needed you to go find them and bring it back to the flock.
That's right.
Well, I think that it goes. Amen. It goes to this sort of hesitancy, or okay, I'm gonna be blunt. This rebellion on the part of most Christians of not sharing their faith. It's mm-hmm. it's and my question to them is, what are you sharing? Are you mm-hmm. sharing your faith, or are you sharing what God has given you with someone else? If I trust God and he is giving me this, then he will give it to them if I'm simply an instrument in his hand. So it's, I don't try to figure out, okay, what word should I say? I got to get the phrases right, and I got to follow the Roman road. But I'm going, listen, it is God who gave you your faith. It is God who's working in you, through you, to give them theirs as well. So it's having faith has means that, and that means that I share as he's told me to, and allow him to do the work. So I look at that and being that's a crisis of faith, I call it, in the church today, unfortunately. And I think it's getting worse more than better. Because I just have this crazy idea. I just think when God's people infused in a place, they start impacting people around them in that place. And people aren't being impacted.
I think that key word you said, Ron, too, I agree with fear. But like you and Steph said, Greg, some of us are carpenters, some of us are others. And if I'm afraid that I can't do that, I need to say, wait a minute, God will give me the faith to do what I can do.
Exactly.
And they will have the faith to do what they do. And if those love each other, mm-hmm. I think one of the greatest joys of my life is wherever I've been able to be a pastor or work with people, I just love these people. These people have been wonderful. And as you look down the road of life, I looked at the time already, boy. We talk a lot. Whoever the guest is, he's talking too much. But anyway, he tries to cut back normally. But I want to say this.
We're going to run this, TJ.
TJ, this book, if anybody will read this, I hope it'll bless you in a way. It starts back. God had me wanting to be in nightclubs, entertaining. I did a lot of stuff with the guitar. I never got in bad groups. I was always All-American. This Tie Your Hope to Freedom Star. We're going to sing a glam. We're going to sing Rhinestone Cowboy and all this nice stuff. But, you know, when I turned from that, he put me back. And what did he do? It's like Ron and Paul said. He simply said, if you do what I call you to do, I will bless you. I'll give you the desires of your heart and the other. That's when sunshine came about. And all of a sudden, I could tell you the stories, but they're in the book out of nowhere. You know, this isn't going to work. And these kids begin to sing. And when they would walk into places like downtown New Orleans to begin to share their faith. Yeah, here's the first album we ever put out. Those are albums. That's a long time ago. That's the only picture I had. But that's Sunshine. Yeah, and those are the albums. You recognize the song, except the ones I wrote on there. But you remember the others. And we had such a great time. And another album we put out, if you want real quick for time, TJ, go to the next one.
Happy day.
These weren't 45s either, were they?
No, that's those albums back to back. Right at the end of darkness there. Had a band, all the kids wanted to be in it and pray together and play together their albums. And so we did all that. And they all came out of my church there. The next slide is in San Jose. Oh, nope, but they that was First Baptist Church of San Jose. And that's over the Santa Clara Valley Craig shares. And you read about it in his book, too, where he tells us where he grew up there and he knew all that area. But anyway, that's kind of where he continues to bless. And we've got like 4 minutes. So I'm going to ask Stephanie, folks, we really appreciate that. And some people give faithfully a little bit. If you could give a little bit, I tell you what, if anybody is able, Stephanie, to give $25 a month for 3 months, like some do, I'll send them a book. I'll get a book to them, and it'll be a paperback. But then you could play the Beatles song in the background, paperback writer, and it comes right to you in paper on that one. But you can get the real one later. Hardback is going.
copy the address to me. I'll send the book of mine too.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah. And, you know, we're going to have a library in there. It's going to have Tank's book, and all the guys are in there. And I'm going to ask Stephanie. I got something up my sleeve to talk to Craig about for Stephanie to write for us. We're going to throw that in there. We'll put the ladies first on that page. Great, Craig. We'll set that up.
ChatGPT.
And if you generously give us $25,000, I have a secret gift for you.
You too.
It's one of his magic bookcases. Okay.
But in all seriousness, this radio show, the purpose is to bring people together. It's to bridge the gap. It's for us to see that we're really more similar than different, to talk about God, how he's intrinsic in all of these things that we are and do. And being on the air takes money. And we appreciate you helping participate in that because it allows us to reach so many people. And I suspect that many of our listeners have a faith. And there are so many that didn't grow up with a faith at all or have anyone that they can talk to, or they don't know where or how to go. And this is a space that we want to cultivate that for people. And so you're giving, I mean, I know we're joking about funny things and amounts, but it really is impactful for kingdom work. So we appreciate, and you can go to, it's bbsradio.com /raising expectations. There's that yellow orangish donate button. There's also instructions on there. If you're not sure how to do it, you can contact Pastor Joe directly as well.
Yeah. Now we can go to Venmo, like they say. Somebody said, we knew Venmo. And I said, I remember the name. Thanks to Ron or Craig. Somebody got it last week, reminded me.
I love it.
It could be under Donald Schofield. That's you can get that name, and that's my first name. So that'll work out too. So, well, folks, hey, guys, thanks for getting my book too and reading that. I appreciate that. And thanks for loving the Lord. Yeah. Yeah, there's the actual one. Look at there.
I got my notes in there.
Oh, that's great. And thanks for being my family. I love and appreciate all of you more than words. And the older we get, Paul and I talk about you and pray for you guys all the time. We know your schedule's wrong. We know it's hectic. Guys, we know how much you all are doing. So Paul and I will talk and we'll pray about you guys. We just love and appreciate you. So thank God for you. We've got like 1 minute to go, and we're going to click off and they're going to send us out. By the way, if you go to Barnes & Noble, make sure you get the 2023 edition here, and that you'll be able to find that there. And I want to, in front of everybody, thank those that do give and participate. You guys bless our lives. I thank God for you. And we thank God for you. And we thank God for TJ. Thanks for TJ being our engineer. What a great young man and all the stuff that he does. And TJ, if you're there, you could let him know. Let him hear your voice. Thanks, buddy.
We need a picture one of these days.
Yeah, we need a picture of you, TJ.
A picture.
I have to tell you guys, so before the show starts, we're pretty funny with our banter. And somebody said, hey, TJ, he does all of our sound, the production. Are you there? And all we hear is, no.
There. Yeah, it's so. Yeah, that's it. Well, you guys have a great week, ladies and gentlemen. Again, or folks, we like to call you. Thanks for being family with us, and thanks for being with Raising Expectations, and thanks for purchasing our books. I hope they'll bless you, and thanks for praying for us. We can use your prayers. Hold us up in prayer. We'll pray for you. Send a note to us. Go on the website. The website has a place. Write a note in there, and we will follow up to you and pray for you and with you. God bless you and keep you till we meet again. I always feel like Dale Revins or Roy Rogers when I say that. But anyway,
That's it. We meet again.
Paul, we need to start another group. They sound good, don't they? All right, God bless you.
Y'all take care.
See you next week.
God bless you guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.